I've learned this through both of the mothers in my life, my wife, and she would tell you she is certainly mothering me. There's very little doubt about it. As well as my natural mama. You do realize if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? And that's Bible. That's Bible. The book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 9 says, "It is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife." See, there's a reason that my garage is 200 feet from the house. You know, some quick stats according to population data. They say that there are now around 2 billion moms in the world, and there are around 80 million moms in the United States. There are 4 babies born every single second. And the average age to become a mom is now 30 years old. In 1970, that age was 23 years old. But you know, the most impressive feat of motherhood, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, belongs to a lady from Russia. She is described by history as a peasant. In other words, she lived in poverty. And from 1725 to 1765, she had 69 children and 27 pregnancies. None of them were single births, but rather they were sets of twins, triplets, and quadruplets. Yeah. If she were here today, we would let her scan the QR code and we would give her a spa trip. What I want to do this morning is I want to take you to a handful of passages of Scripture in the book of 2 Timothy. And what I want to show you is something that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy regarding the influence that Paul perceived Timothy's mother and grandmother to have had on his spiritual development. And so let's drop an anchor with these two texts. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So we're just getting started in this text, in this book. And Paul says this, "Timothy, as I write to you, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded it also now lives in you." And so what Paul is saying is that, Timothy, there is something in you, something spiritual in you, that is a direct result of the impact that your mom and your grandma had on your life. And I believe that as you move forward into chapter 2 and you see this passage, chapter 2, verse 20, that there's something that can be connected to that first statement by Paul. We're going to break this down this morning. Chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work." What I want to relay to you this morning through Scripture is that God has a special purpose for you and your children. And it's very possible that some of you mothers and grandmothers are more instrumental in bringing that special purpose to pass than you may have ever realized before. So I want you to pray with me. Father, help me to teach, help me to preach, help me to share your word. In Jesus' name, this church said. You know, I've learned that something powerful happens when a mother prays. Even if a child is raised in the home of an unsaved father. Now, this morning we're talking about Timothy. And what we learn about Timothy is that not only does Scripture have some things to say about his mother and grandmother, but Scripture in early church history tells us quite a bit about his father. And what we learn about his father is that Timothy's dad was not saved. In fact, Timothy's dad was believed to be a pagan. He was believed to be somebody that worshiped idols. He's believed to be someone that is described in some ways as a literal heathen in church history. And so what that means is that he was probably somebody that was bringing a lot of darkness into the home. There is some that would say in relation to the religion that his dad probably followed, he would have been bringing idolatry into the house. He would have been setting up pagan rituals in the house. And he'd been trying to go through all of these wicked things within the home. And so this is what Timothy's mom and grandma were up against in trying to teach this kid about the things of God. They were fighting against a father that was completely engrossed in darkness. And yet, somehow, Timothy grows up and he's actually recorded as being a co-author of multiple books of the Bible. In fact, though Paul is the primary author, these books list Timothy as a co-author. 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, as well as Philemon. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Philippians, he actually said, I don't have anybody in my entire ministry that's like Timothy. I have no one like him. How is it that the Apostle Paul, who's described in Scripture as a master builder, who is the man who's responsible for writing 2/3 of the books of the New Testament, would become so fond of this young man named Timothy that he would have all of these incredible things to say about him? In fact, Paul got so close to Timothy that when Paul was in Rome and awaiting martyrdom and was about to die, there were people that he asked for to come see him. And at the top of that list was Timothy. And it was Timothy that he wanted to bid farewell to perhaps more than anybody else. Timothy, who history records as being somebody that may have in his lifetime pastored over 100,000 people. Like, how is it that this kid comes out of a home that belongs to a dad that lives in darkness and wickedness and idolatry, and yet still impacts his generation for Christ in such a profound way? And so what we learn is that we've really already read a key point in that regard. We're going to look at it again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul said, Timothy, when I think about you, and when I'm reminded of your sincere faith, this authentic faith that's in you, I want you to understand something. It lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it now lives in you also. In other words, Timothy, the reason that you've been able to have this spiritual success, the reason that some of the things that you have done have been so significant are directly connected to the fact that you had a praying mom and you had a praying grandma, and they were able to override in the spirit all the darkness that your father was trying to bring into your life. And so throughout this letter to Timothy, what really Paul kind of continues to circle back to is the importance of Timothy's relationship with his mom and his grandma. Even when he reaches the point of telling Timothy that he needs to understand that there are going to be two laws in human experience. Two laws in human experience. Here's what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a law. That if you desire to live godly, you will suffer persecution. At some point, somebody's going to mock you, somebody's going to ridicule you, and if you live godly long enough, at some point you will be persecuted for your faith. That's a law. The second thing that Paul says to Timothy is that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So evil men will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Two laws. If you live godly, you will be persecuted at some point. Secondly, evil men are just going to get worse and worse, and they're going to deceive and keep on deceiving. So two things are guaranteed in the human experience: persecution and deception. Persecution for your faith in Jesus and people trying to deceive you so that you will no longer have faith in Jesus. And so how is it that you are able to overcome both of those things? And more importantly, like, how is it that your household is able to overcome both of those things? That your kids will be able to overcome those? Persecution and deception. I want you to notice this instruction to Timothy. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, and that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Who was it that taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures in his childhood? His mom. Now, y'all are slow, but I believe you're worth waiting on. There was somebody who put that in the comment section in Church Online before you guys even helped me in this room. I believe that. Who taught him? If he knows the Holy Scriptures, it was his mom and his grandma. They gave them to him as a child. And what Paul is telling him is that when you're coming up against persecution and up against deception, the thing that's going to get you through that is the thing that was put in you when you were just a kid, when your mom and your grandma were making sure that you understood the Word of God. Even though his father was not involved in putting those tools in his life, somebody stepped up in surrounding his life and said, we're gonna get this in you. And so I just want to commend some moms and some grandmas this morning who maybe you're even in a single household, or maybe you've had to take on responsibility that you never expected to have in this age, but you've made a decision that you believe there is a special purpose that God has placed upon the children that are under your care, and you'd be willing to go to hell with a water pistol to fight for their future because you believe that family is worth fighting for. And so I think about, you know, even our own household, like, I mean, I admit this often. They say confession's good for the soul. You shall be healed through your confession, right? Our family's basketball crazy. Like, we love basketball. It's just a thing. We're super competitive. My daughter, my son's involved in basketball. My daughter's involved in entrepreneurial stuff, and she competes in graphic design and things like that. And yet, constantly with our kids, we have this conversation that it doesn't matter if Natalie's a state champion in graphic design or if she can finish top 10 in the nation in that same level of competition. It doesn't matter where Dawson's ranked as a basketball player or how many points he had in his last game. If you don't know the Word of God, if you don't value Holy Scriptures, then when persecution and deception comes, the enemy is going to triumph over you. And so the number one opponent that we are looking to defeat is the devil. And quite frankly, we'd like for him to leave with his feet, with his teeth kicked into the back of his throat. Because I don't know who I'm trying to help this morning. So the most important opponent that you can ever teach your children to defeat is the devil. And if you are going to teach your children to defeat the devil, they are going to have some offensive weaponry. And Scripture reveals that the most significant offensive weapon in the arsenal of a believer is the Word of God. Teach your children to memorize Holy Scriptures, because someday the enemy is probably going to attack their body with sickness, and they're going to need to know that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, they were and they are healed. At some point, the enemy may try to come against their life with an addiction, and they're going to need to know that the anointing of God will destroy every yoke. At some point, somebody's going to try to do something that brings them down, and they're going to need to know that nothing shall by any means harm you when you serve the Lord thy God. They need to know that God's the author and the finisher of their faith, and the first and the last and the Alpha and the Omega. They need to know that when they read to the back of the book, they still win, because greater is he that's in them than he that's within the world. Somebody help me this morning. Like, your kids need to know the Holy Scriptures. It needs to be something that is valued. And what Paul is pointing out is that from the time that that Timothy was a child, his grandma and his mom were making sure that he understood the Holy Scriptures. You know, I really believe that the impartation of generational faith may be more important now than ever before. Here's one of the things that Paul told Timothy about why it's so important that his mom and grandma taught him Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, he said, I want you to mark this, Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny its power have nothing to do with such people. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound like the culture and the time in which we live? The reality is that in the last days, there will be terrible times. But you don't have to be intimidated by those terrible times if you've been prepared with the Holy Scriptures. And what Paul is telling Timothy is don't be intimidated by the terrible stuff that comes at you. You just know that from a child, God's been setting you up to be able to overcome whatever it is that the enemy brings against you. And so I would say to you, if you do not hold to a form of godliness, but instead you choose to embrace the power of God, then you and your family can be used for special purposes by God. So I want to share with you another element of this, one of these first texts that we read this morning. 2 Timothy 2. God's solid foundation stands firm. Can I get an amen? And it is sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles that are not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. And some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who clean themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. God has designed your children for a special purpose. They were not intended to be common. They were not intended to blend in. They were not intended to behave like everyone else when it comes to conforming to the world. But they are called and ordained of God to be renewed by their mind, that they might be transformed in the image that God has for them. They are designed for a special purpose. And I don't care how old your kid is, it might be a good day for you just to remind them that you are ordained of God for a special purpose. And before you were formed in the mother's womb, God had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. And it is a plan for your good. And it is a plan for to prosper you and to give you a hope and to give you a future. A special purpose. Pray over your kids like you believe they got a special purpose. Before they leave the house in the morning, lay your hand on their head and pray over them like you believe they got a special purpose. Before they go in and go to that next step in life, pray over them. Believe that they got a special purpose. I don't care if they're grown and they already left the house. Sometimes shoot them a text and just remind them, you are ordained of God for a special purpose. You are not meant to be common. You are meant to come out from the world and be separate, that you might be able to lead those that are bound by darkness into the light of God, that all men would glorify him. And so I think through this, and I really think maybe what has to happen is that we just have to come to our senses. Because when Paul is continuing to teach Timothy, one of the things that he says to him is in chapter 2, verse 25, he says, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, watch this, that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Don't you just wish culture would come to its senses? I want to tell you something. The best way to get culture to come to its senses is for the church to come to its senses. For us to look ourselves in the spiritual mirror and shake ourselves awake to come to the reality that it's time to escape the trap of the devil. You need to understand something, that the enemy, through persecution and deception, is setting a trap for your children. And he fully intends to persecute them to the point that they will not want to stand for Jesus. And that if that doesn't work, to deceive them to the point that they become so confused that they don't know right from wrong. And that's the reason that we presently have a generation that calls good evil and evil good and sins and does not blush. Because from their childhood, they have not been raised in the truth of Holy Scriptures. And so I think the unction for you and I is that we have to lead the way in coming to our senses so that we can escape the trap that the enemy has set. What's happened is the hot has become so intermingled with the cold, and the cold so intermingled with the hot, that there's a lukewarmness in our spirituality. But God's calling you to come to your senses. This verse may be as important as it has been at any time in human history. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What Paul told Timothy is the reason you're going to be able to stand against the persecution and the deception is because when you were a kid, your mom and your grandma saw to it that you got the Holy Scriptures in you. A more direct translation of that same verse says this, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Here's the rest of what Paul told Timothy about the importance of Scriptures that his family had taught him since childhood. 2 Timothy 3:16. I want you to understand something. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, both of those, they're written as letters. So today when we're reading these verses, we're pulling from a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. So we're just taking excerpts from the letter. 2 Timothy 3:16. Timothy, understand that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what Paul is telling Timothy is every time that your grandma and your mom sat you down and began to walk through the Holy Scriptures with you, it was the equivalent of allowing God Himself to breathe into your life. Do you realize right now that as your kids are in Three Trees Kids, that you have set them up this morning to receive the Holy Scriptures so that God can breathe into your kids' lives? That every time that you turn off all the background noise and you just sit down as a family unit for a while and you start talking about the Scriptures, that you're allowing the breath of God to come into your home? The reason that some of us feel like that we are spiritually suffocating is because we have cut ourselves off from the breath of God. When you open your life up to the Holy Scriptures, it allows the breath of God to come into you spiritually. And so what Paul's telling Timothy is the reason that you're equipped for every good work. The reason you're equipped to overcome the example of a dark, wicked, pagan father. The reason that you're able to rise up and become a co-author of multiple books of the Bible. The reason that you're able to pastor 100,000 people is because from the time you were a child, God was breathing on you through Holy Scriptures and helping you to understand there's a special purpose in your life. And so I would challenge you that if this is something that you're doing, keep doing it. And if it's something that you've not been intentional about, then come to your senses. And I don't say that egotistically. I don't say that arrogantly. Like I say that from a heart that is burdened for the persecution and the deception that the enemy is trying to bring into the world. I don't want the special purpose on your household to be aborted. God's got plans. I just dare you just to say that to somebody right now. Just speak that over their life. God's got plans for your household. God's got plans for your household. You understand these realities? That a generation has never been saved except through the womb of a mother? That every time that God gets ready to do something significant in a generation, He borrows the womb of a mother to bring deliverance to pass. That when God decided it was time to send the Savior of the universe to the world, He borrowed the womb of a virgin mother and conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I wonder why it is that we so overlook one of God's greatest portals on earth is the womb of a mother. And some of you, when we're talking about some of this morning, you're starting to feel convicted. And the reason is because you don't feel like you can live up to the expectation of Scripture. And you feel like maybe in some way, shape, form, or fashion that, man, I've not been the right kind of example, and I've messed up too many times, and there's no way God could really use me to raise up a world changer. The devil is a liar. When you read the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew, which basically just breaks down, this was the first father, and then the next father, and the next father, and the next father, and the next father, and the next father. There are insertions of women that are also a part of that genealogy. And at least three of the women that are listed as being in the genealogy of the Son of God coming to the earth were women of bad behavior. One is Tamar. Tamar became a harlot. She sold her body and ultimately wound up in the bed of her father-in-law sinfully. And still, God redeemed her lineage to the point that it would become a part of what would bring the Son of God to the earth. There's Rahab, practicing prostitute, selling herself away every day of her life until she finally had a head-on collision with God's mercy. Bathsheba, an adulteress, became a part of a scheme to murder her husband, and yet still God found a way to reach her and to bring redemption to her story. And so I just feel like this morning that, and I wrote this down because I really feel like I need to say it to somebody. Don't allow the excuse of past failures to disqualify you from the role you are called to play in your child's life. There's a very real possibility that Timothy's mom did not originally have the right relationship with God. It may be why she wound up in the relationship she was in. But when she came to know Jesus Christ, everything changed. And she was able to push back against the darkness in her home through the light that God had put in her. And so I want to say something this morning. I am so grateful for so many of the men that are represented in this community this morning, through those of you that are present in this church and joining us in church online, who you've said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you got a godly man in your house, you ought to praise God for just a minute. Praise God for just a minute. There may be others of you men that you've been a little reluctant to become the spiritual thermostat in your house. And I get that. I understand those challenges. But I want you to understand something. God has a place and a purpose for you. You come join me on Father's Day, we're going to talk about it. But this morning on Mother's Day, I want to be an encouragement, even to those of you that maybe you've wanted to have children and you've not been able to. The Bible fully endorses the concepts of spiritual fatherhood and spiritual motherhood, where you become to someone what they've never had in the natural through spiritual relationship. But even just in talking to those of you that are mothers and those of you that are grandmas, do not underestimate your potential to impact an entire generation through the child that God has entrusted to your home. And it may seem really common when you're changing their diapers and you're cleaning up their spilled food and you're doing their laundry and you feel like an Uber service running them from practice to practice and from event to event. But there's a special purpose riding around in that car with you and sleeping in that bedroom down the hall from you. And don't ever give up on the importance of allowing God to breathe on them so that they can stand against the persecution and the deception. Can you just join me this morning and giving God praise one more time? Come on. They're going to come to the music this morning, and I want you to give God praise for the special purpose that He has entrusted to your household. And it is never too late to be who you might have been. There's no better day than today to start. Today is the first day of the rest of your motherhood, the rest of your life. And I would challenge you to realize that we serve a God who in Joel chapter 2 said, if I can find people who will weep before me in repentance, I'll restore what the cankerworm, the locust, and the palmer worm hath eaten. What he's talking about is insects that come in and devour harvest. He said, if I can just find somebody that will weep before me in repentance, I'll give them back the harvest and the time they lost. You serve a God of restoration. And so this morning, man, maybe you're a child And you're blessed with the kind of mother that we've been talking about and describing. You ought to just, I don't care how old you are. You may have never even really felt like you were capable of prayer. But you ought to right now just thank God for the mom that he's given you. Sometimes she's making you come to church and she's making you talk about the Bible and she's making you talking about getting some things straightened out in your life. And it makes you so mad right now. But someday you are going to thank God. Let me talk to you for a second, kid. My mama liked to drove me crazy. Like, I mean, I was stayed mad at her constantly. But I eventually learned she knew who I was before I did. And she was trying to protect and prepare and make sure persecution and deception didn't win. And making sure that I stayed in the right senses. And I wish I could have back all the doors I slammed in her face and all the mean things I said to her when my daddy wasn't around. But she just kept praying and fasting and believing God. And now I'm so grateful. Mom, it's your moment to pray for yourself and just pray you're going to keep being that kind of scriptural example that God wants you to be, but also to pray for your kids. And if you're a single guy in here right now, pray that when you reach that point of finding a wife, that you find this kind of mother for your kids. And if you're somebody that aspires to be a mom, it's a great moment for you just to pray, God, when I finally get my chance, I want to be all those things and more. Can we pray? Father, somebody needs a personal relationship with you this morning, regardless of whether they're male or female, young or old. And Lord, I pray that on this day they would see your cross. They would see the Son of God bleeding and dying for their sin, and that they would have the courage to even right now lift a hand as a sign of surrender and say, God, I need to be saved. Jesus, take away my sin. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I submit my life to your ways and to your will and to your Holy Scripture. I want to be a disciple, Jesus. I want to follow you from this day forward for the rest of my life. God, I also pray for households, and specifically today, God, the grandmothers and the mothers that need to be encouraged in nurturing the special purposes that you have put under their care in their homes. God, may they not devalue the calling and the mandate that you have placed upon them. And may they, like Esther, be used for such a time as this to say, if I perish, I perish. But there is a purpose that must be fought for and protected. And so, Lord, this morning, may there just be a fresh anointing come upon mothers and grandmothers. Use them, God. Use them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.